Backseat Producers, episode number 298, House of Boys.
Bottle. After a couple of shots of that, Thanksgiving will probably seem quite festive.
So, this is episode 298.
Closing in on that magic 300.
Yeah. December the 11th.
December 11th, Tony. That's a bad time.
Never forget.
It should be the episode 300 recording, but Holden has a Christmas concert that night with his trumpet, so...
Really, what's the plan? Just record that and put that up as the episode. Installed.
That would be the intro.
Episode 300.
That would be the intro.
Oh, to joy and jingle bells.
How well
I
is
know,
he
the joy
coming?
Was recognizable.
How well is he coming with his trumpet?
It's not bad. Yeah, he was doing it earlier. Mm-hmm. He did it, and Adam's like, "That's pretty good." Ode to Joy. I mean, you can tell what he's playing, which is sometimes
you can tell.
Sometimes that's different than how we sound.
Yeah,
gotta work on the embouchure. That's the important part.
Mm. No, I,
it takes a while.
It's a good compliment. Oh, this sounds like that song you're trying to play. Oh wow, I'm 90% of the way there.
Because if you sound like it, man, then your
brain... The rest
brain,
of it's just artistic license.
Your brain puts together the rest of it from that point.
I am right
now. Dr. Canada. Okay, it's Canadian.
Yeah, I got so drunk on the peppermint stuff, like, 2 years ago, that I got to the point where I was at the end of it, I was just biting off hunks of the of cup. This, of the cup.
That's one way to stop drinking.
That's, yeah. It's a sign you bet too much.
We're eating the glass.
So... We had comments for last episode, and they were negative comments.
Negative?
Yeah. I don't remember what was
that. Thor, we didn't talk about Thor.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Thor.
And we were all... Apparently, we were so all over the place that, like, we lost people.
Okay.
That's good, yeah.
That's what you
talk about the Thor. There's nothing to talk about with Thor.
Yeah.
This is why the Avengers movies are terrible. You remember the long-ass conversation we had about Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like two episodes. We did one here. We did one on the podcast.
We talked about it with T and Pip.
We talked about it with T and Pip. And then I think we talked about it like for every episode for the next 10 episodes.
Probably.
I'm not going to talk about Thor tonight.
I was thinking next week, Europa Report.
Europa Report?
Europa
it's
Report.
It's streaming.
Okay. It is streaming.
I saw it.
Europa? Did you watch it or no. You just saw that it was streaming?
I saw
Europa
it was streaming.
Report.
And then I was like, man, I think Tony wants to do this movie. I should watch this now, not watch it. I got plenty of time between now and next week.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time. When are we going to do Catching Fire?
I don't know.
I saw it.
I haven't.
I saw it. It was about, like, the first one.
Well, the reviews
only seem... But it was a slightly different story. It's a little, like, the
most
first
of the
one.
Reviews...
Did you read the books?
No.
Yeah, no, this one...
It's reading. I can't be bothered to do that.
No, this one. Mm. They even fixed all my problems with the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what most of the reviewers are saying. It says it's the Empire Strikes Back of Hunger Games. It's somewhat right, better better story.
Yeah, that's true. They're stormtroopers. They were totally stormtroopers in that movie.
Stormtroopers? Inappropriate nudity?
Where are Minox?
There was a trident. Finnick is kind of a Minox. Wield a trident.
Well, there you go.
It's from one of the fishing districts. So then we left, and Melina's like, Well, I want to know about the other people in the movie. Well, that's weird. There's this whole reference manual that you can go consult about that. It's the book. Well, what do these people do? I don't remember. Go read the book. Oh, we'd have to go to the store and get it. Oh, my God. We have an iPad. We literally have every book that has ever been written that we can purchase or get at our fingertips.
Is this already starting to melt?
Yeah, man, that fireball doesn't fuck around, Tony.
No, it doesn't.
Do you see that devil in there? He's winking at you.
From the inside.
Drink me.
I normally don't like commercials, but I really like the Jack Daniels, the devil's cut. Those commercials are clever.
I've got some. It's pretty good.
Is it? It looks heinous. Because basically the commercial is telling you, everything that's awful about whiskey, we took the most awful and made it its own drink. Gross.
Huh.
We took the dregs of the barrels and actually made it a valuable product.
What is gross. It?
Okay, so in the distilling of whiskey,
yeah.
when you cask it, right. Some of the whiskey goes into the air. It evaporates.
Sure.
That's the angel share. That's always referred to as the angel share because you don't have the exact same measure of liquid that you...
You have to account for some loss.
Yeah, and that's right.
Some of the alcohol.
The accounting evaporates. Of loss, there's two things to account for in loss. One is evaporation. That's the angel share. Mm. And the devil's cut is what soaks into the
wood.
Into the wood.
Right.
So what they've done is they've extracted the alcohol from the wood. They've sucked the alcohol out of the wood like a really cheap whore. Just every last drop.
I don't know if they actually do that or they just—it's just a different.
I think recipe. I think they just pressurize the wood to.
Really? Do they just actually from the wood?
I don't know.
Because it's a good story. Oh God, that's horrible.
No, it's actually. Compared to some of that shit Luke drinks,
first off,
he drinks the stuff that they spill onto the floor and sop up.
Ugh. Yeah, but you can't stop smelling it.
I'm trying to get an idea of what it smells like.
It smells really heinous.
No, it doesn't. It smells like it has a very woody scent to it.
You know, I've had worse.
And paid money for it.
Yeah, well, not much money. But...
So then there's this. Shit that I make Luke drink when he comes because you can get it for like
Was that Old Crow?
No, it's Kentucky Tavern.
Oh.
Which smells like a Kentucky Tavern.
Man, Tony, there's a lot of open containers of liquid around electronic equipment. Mm. Oh, you're bold.
It's alcohol, it evaporates.
It doesn't smell like a Kentucky Tavern, it just smells like whiskey.
It smells like wood and ass.
No, this smells like wood.
By the way, Tony, did you watch The Mentalist from Sunday?
I did.
The best part of that goddamn episode was the black guy staring down Joe like you mad talking. Goddamn Joe.
Joe is the best.
Joe is the goddamn best.
You heard what they're doing with the rest of the series?
The next episode is My Blue Heaven. Like they've changed the naming scheme.
They have done a 2-year time jump.
Really?
Yeah. It's a 2-year time jump.
Hmm.
Cho is working in Houston with the FBI. Lisbon is
doing whatever.
The other two are working. They're just working for a local police station.
Man, I hate Van Pelt. Like in the beginning,
those two are being written off the show.
Good. God, I really hate her. In the beginning, I thought she was going to be like this. I thought what they were setting her up to be was that. Well, I'm into this whole spiritual new age stuff, and he was going to be like the skeptic dude.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, maybe you really can read minds, you just don't know that you can. No, that's not, that no one can do that. That's not
they,
real.
They knew what to do with her for a little while, for a season or two. Then they didn't know what to do, and then she got pregnant and had to leave the show for a while, and they just kind of never really...
Yeah, there's that. She's got nothing going on. Neither does Rigsby. He sucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad they're being written off the show at this point. All right, we ready?
We're ready.
Yeah.
I need more.
Recharging.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Jolie.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. Happy Skanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, we're starting off with liquid libations already.
What's our movie for next week?
A Europa Report.
Because I want to talk about the bullshit you made me watch this week.
Man.
Yeah.
I did not know.
All right. Europa Report.
Europa Report next week.
Tony.
Skanksgiving.
Tony, I wanted a fun, happy, gay movie with a bunch of dudes kissing, and you know what I got?
You got that.
I got AIDS, Tony.
For about an hour and 20, 10
minutes. That's what you get for having unprotected sex.
Tony, I got AIDS.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
What did you do?
I don't know.
This was your fault.
That was never advertised to
you,
me.
Here's what it is. You knew if you dangled out that banana-shaped carrot that I'd go for it because I thought it was funny.
It was funny. I don't know what happened. I watched that movie the next day. And I was even sending you messages like, this is the movie that I think Magic Mike should have been. Like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes, I'm like, this is already the gayest movie I've seen. This is great. And then I've never seen Melina get so upset at a movie as when they do a fade to black on two dudes going to do it in a shower.
Mm.
And then I got AIDS. Yeah. And then it was not fun anymore.
Yeah.
It stopped being fun, Tony.
There were two different movies here and three different agendas.
There were two different movies, and they bait and switched me.
Yeah, they did.
I was trying to date bait, they but I think I got switch.
Well, that one dude was a switch.
That one dude switch was hitter. A switch hitter. He looked a lot hotter as a girl than he did as a boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one literally switched.
That one.
But then there was one who switched teams halfway through.
Yeah, that guy.
Jack.
Two more switching.
I never did this with a boy.
Tony. What the hell was going on with Udo Kier?
I don't know, but that was amazing.
It was amazing.
It really was pretty awesome.
Because I was like, oh, so I don't know. This guy's been in some pretty shitty movies, let's be honest. But then, no, he commits to this movie, in a big way. And I was like, this is awesome.
Everything about
this guy's terrifying.
Is terrifying. Especially the drag is so unbelievably terrifying.
Where is she? He. Wait, what?
Yeah, he was awesome.
And also, I gotta say, the worst musical drag numbers. Like, I've seen good drag performances before, and
All right, so let's do the quick. I think we've got feelings from three of us. Gary, what were your high level thoughts on this?
Well, high level thoughts was I sort of enjoyed it. I mean, it got kind of weepy towards the end, but I'll agree it was not the movie I thought it was. I thought there was going to be a gay exploitation movie. Boy, did I got a lifetime. I got a lifetime weeper instead.
Yeah. Here's what I wanted. I wanted a Cinemax gay, like Emmanuel in space, where it's like, there is no reason Emmanuel needs to have sex with these people or put on that device that lets her have sex with people remotely.
Spider babe.
Yeah, but we need some soft core cable porn, so let's just put that on. That's what I wanted from this movie. And you know what I didn't get? I didn't get that. They teased it every once in a while, and that guy's mohawk was awesome.
That guy's mohawk was awesome.
It was awesome.
But then I got AIDS.
Yeah.
I didn't want AIDS.
This movie took a turn.
No, it crashed. Crash stopped. And did a 180-degree crazy Ivan.
Yeah, so...
It was interesting, though, that, like, they even had the act one, act two, act three. Yeah. And there were three distinct stories that were being told. Like, everything that was in act one was completely what I expected from this movie.
Yes.
Completely. I expected the whole movie to be what act one was. When act two came along, it's like, that's kind of interesting. They're taking a sweet turn to this. They're making
it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, they're making it a romance. I'm okay with that.
Dun, dun, dun!
Then the hammer falls.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. Whoa, wait a minute.
The gay cancer comes.
Yeah, so then... So, at the point in the movie...
I've got the gay cancer.
At the point in the movie where he falls through the table naked, I was like, okay, so here's what we're going to do.
I thought it was drugs. I thought it was all going to be about
drugs. Yes! I was like, all right, so drugs pretty prevalent in the gay community. All right, so let's do this
part
of it.
Well, in this group, too, like the dancers in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Nope.
Yes, the crashing to
then
the
Stephen
table.
Then Stephen Fry shows up.
Then Stephen Fry shows up.
Yeah, the crashing to the table was very symbolic of the
Stephen Fry and his amazing amount of disdain for Reagan.
That was fantastic. Especially since this movie was like from 2009.
I sort of feel like that was probably, like, that was Stephen Fry just saying, this is what I want to do as a character. I just want to bitch about Reagan.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, Stephen Fry, you do what you want.
You're in our movie. You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We can work that little script, that little scope in.
We're such a nobody movie that we've got Udo Kier over here. So
we've got Udo Kier and Stephen Fry.
Well, to be fair, Udo Kier's been.
He'll be in anything.
He's been in anything. And I kind of feel like Stephen Fry was in it just.
Probably.
As a gay awareness thing. Like he had a personal vested interest in it. Because it was not an exploitative gay movie.
I think that. See, my problem with it is that I feel like there's maybe like a gay stereotyping of movies where, you know how there's a stereotype where some movies end with a wedding, and I feel like in certain gay movies they end with AIDS.
Certain or all?
Many, frequently.
Most of them.
Not all.
Well, that's not true. Milk didn't end in AIDS.
True. It's true.
But it was pretty killy.
I've seen
it ended in death.
I've seen some lesbian movies that did not end in AIDS either. So
I missed the lesbian movie at the International Film Festival this year. The one that's supposed to be like super graphic pornography lesbian love story.
The one that won
it's like the something blue.
Blue is the warmest color.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
The people I went to see the JFK movie with are like, yeah, we saw that last night. It was hot. Damn it. Why are we seeing this movie about JFK? The JFK documentary was actually pretty good. Although the title is misleading. JFK, An American Betrayal. But there's zero new information in the movie. Mm. Like, there's no new context. Oh, this is the same everything we already know. Fantastic. There's no American Betrayal here. Get in, title beaters.
Cheers. All right, so.
So now we have to talk about this movie that was such a chore.
So the thing
was such a chore.
I would not say it's a chore. I enjoyed the movie.
I enjoyed the movie too.
I enjoyed the movie. I even enjoyed the AIDS turn. The thing that I did not
like. Heard it here first, folks. Tony enjoyed AIDS.
It happened. It was fine. There was one inaccuracy that bugged me a little bit, but it was not that big a deal. But the ending, when they did the title cards.
Why don't you tease it like that? Why don't you just tell us what it is?
Yeah, what is the inaccuracy?
The next question.
The inaccuracy of them calling it AIDS. They didn't call it AIDS in 84, 85. They called it GRIDS. It was gay-related immunodeficiency syndrome. It was not AIDS. They didn't call it that. It was all gay-related. They made a point of calling it the gay cancer and something else. The gay something else. Mm. They didn't call it. They call it AIDS.
The gay plague.
The gay plague.
Yeah.
That's it. But it wasn't. It wasn't even in the.
That's what I call Paul.
The gay plague. That's fair. The bigger problem I had with it was the title cards at the end where they're 2.5 million people die.
I turned it off when those things come on.
As soon as those things went on, that was the right move.
Yeah, here's
it was super heavy-handed and completely unnecessary. They got the point.
I feel like the title cards that usually do that are the same thing as like the truth campaigns. Like, yeah, I already know smoking's bad for me. Most people know. People who are still smoking just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to convince them otherwise.
Right.
They're smoking because they want to. No one thinks this is good for you.
Yeah, but they're not. Those campaigns aren't to convince you.
I know they're not to convince me.
So
that's why I don't watch them.
The purpose is not to convince you. And they have actually kind of worked because we smoke way less now than we ever have in history. So.
And kudos to them.
I smoke the same amount that I always have.
I smoke less than
I smoke 100% less than I used to. So
I have never smoked anything.
You're missing out.
Yeah, you are.
Smoking was great. Oh, I miss smoking. It was so awesome.
Now you smoke 100% as much as you used to on the way home.
All right, so the story. What did you think of the story?
I thought the first act was great. Dudes banging in the gym locker room. I just assumed it happened anyway. And the second act was fun. You know, gay burlesque strip show dancers. Yeah.
Turning the straight guy.
Turning the straight guy. I mean, come on. Everybody
it was
loves
a reverse that. Chasing Amy.
Udo Kier.
Udo Kier singing in drag in German.
It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
Mohawk guy.
Okay. You know what? The thing is I've seen strip shows. I can honestly say I've never seen a drag show. But I'm not opposed
to. You're
missing out, man. Yeah.
I've never seen a drag show, but I've seen a man in drag run a trivia night.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I think it was Francis's bachelor party.
That makes complete sense, actually. That actually seems like the rightest way of Francis having a bachelor party. I don't know where I was going with that.
Me neither.
Drink some more. Maybe it'll come to you.
I think that's the problem.
Does it entice you when I lick this thing like
that?
I think that's the distraction.
Yes,
you're
my sweet mustache, right. Erotic shot glass licking.
Yes, I know what I was going to say.
You're rimming that glass pretty well.
No, I'm getting the side.
The lack the of refinement and choreography and talent in the singing and dancing was accurate.
Yeah.
I appreciated that as opposed to the Magic Mike. Like, I feel like this movie is more real than Magic Mike is.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, he actually did that stuff, though. Like,
you're talking about Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so I think it's really
but he actually did those things, like, in real life. That was him doing
He was doing the House of Boys in real life.
That's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Only I just imagine that it was as choreographed.
But it would
that's
be
kind of what that
But does. You're right. It is. It's probably pretty accurate that it's the level of the average level that you're going to find in a club like that.
Yeah.
Listen, well, to be fair, it is a lot.
It was a dive bar in Amsterdam on a side street.
It's a lot easier to entice men than women, let's be honest. So I can believe Magic Mike simply because you're going to have something choreographed. You're going to have a show. Because there's ladies there, and ladies like that sort of thing. But dudes, you don't bother. It's lost
on
them.
Man. I went to the theater to see Magic Mike, like, on opening night, and it was all chicks, and they seemed pretty goddamn rowdy, and we were watching a movie.
Yes. They were, because I also went on opening night, and that very same thing happened. But because
there's
this production value.
I saw it on television, and it was terrible. It's a terrible movie.
That's wrong.
Magic Mike was fine.
It's wrong, because it was great.
Movie. No.
You just don't like the fact that it subverted traditional female stereotypes.
No, I just didn't like the fact that it was terrible. It was
furniture builders, do you?
I have a problem with furniture builders.
No problem with Olivia Munn, too.
I don't have a problem with Olivia Munn.
I bet you don't.
I do not. That sold the movie for me, because it's like I got teased with that at the beginning, and then it was like they took it all away.
Yeah, and so then you were like, where's this going?
Talk about a bait and switch.
It's not going anywhere, Tony.
It's the same as Magic Mike. It was a bait and switch. They gave me the good stuff up front, then took it away. Teased it a little bit again, and then it was gone.
And then she's like, I don't know you. I got a real life.
I don't know you. You're AIDS to me. Bye. My boyfriend is AIDS to you. So long.
Here's Stephen Fry to explain it.
Stephen Fry is the building of furniture.
Well, the one thing that did was, I'd say this movie had a redeeming social quality is in the third act when Jack is dying and Fred is still staying by his side.
Frank.
I mean, Frank, excuse me.
Frank.
He is loyal to the very, very, very end. I mean, there's no question where what he feels about Jack.
I question his motivation, though.
I don't know.
That guy was not spectacular. Like that, I'm sort of like him.
Yeah, but are you a dude?
I mean, I like dudes.
Yeah, but do you like dudes as much as Frank-like dudes?
I kind of feel like she's more qualified.
Is a dude worthwhile
in a romantic sense than the rest of us?
Well, in a romantic sense, but I don't think it was all about romance with Frank.
It was all about loyalty.
It was all about getting it on. At first, what dude are you looking at that
know is like, all right, there's some sexual warmth to this guy? Because it wasn't anybody in this movie.
Well, that's what.
Maybe Mohawk guy.
Mohawk guy was kind of a stud.
Mohawk guy was probably the top of the pyramid of that.
I found a really low level of sex appeal with all of these. Well, Mohawk guy was kind of an exception, but that's like the two main characters, especially the Jake character.
Neither of them
like,
were attractive dudes.
Yeah, he was not. And then they describe him as like, you know, the hottest boy. In the house of
You're
boys.
Not the hottest boy in the house anymore.
And I'm like, what? That guy was never hot. There's nothing about this guy that's hot. I don't get the appeal. And he's surly. And he's shitty at playing guitar. And I feel like I know 10
he's
of those
dudes.
He's a
bad boy. That's what his appeal
he's
is.
Not a guy. Yeah,
three of them are sitting around this table right now.
Yeah, like, I know that dude. I don't want to fuck that dude necessarily. So.
It depends on what song he's playing at the time. But
I suppose.
Killing me softly.
That's not the panty dropper.
That is not the panty dropper now.
I don't know what the panty dropper is, but I know what it's not. It's not killing himself. Generally, I have found when you're trying to...
It may not be the panty dropper, but is it the jockstrap dropper?
It might be. When you're trying to serenade the ladies and get them into bed, you usually try to avoid all references to killing. Much market research has gone into this. Tony, what do you see on IMDb there? I see cruising.
Ben Northover, the guy who played Jake, he was in Harry Potter.
Bullshit. Who was he?
He was a Hogsmeade Death Eater in Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Huh.
Hmm.
Third one.
I feel like British actors.
A billion of them.
All British actors are in that movie, so.
They had to be. They needed all of them for
the extras.
Right.
For Part 2.
Did they, though?
Just like everybody in New Zealand was in a Lord of the Rings movie at some point.
They mostly just, Brett from Flight of the Conchords is in it. He was in The Hobbit, too. And he's gonna be in Desolation Smoke. They're not even in Rivendell anymore.
What?
He's Brett from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, but they're not in Rivendell, but he's gonna be in the movie somehow. How is it happening?
Because they still have elves.
I know, but it's not like the entire population of Rivendell goes with them to the Misty Mountain.
They might.
I guess.
Well,
they eventually all do in the Battle of the Four Armies.
But that's not the mountain.
Five armies.
That's elsewhere. Right, I assume? You can't really have a battle through a mountain. Unless you're Hannibal. You didn't really battle through the mountains. You just kind of traversed them.
Yeah.
And when you first off, when you've got elephants, you can do pretty much whatever you got.
Elephants,
want.
Man.
What do you mean, what? That's how the West was won.
Well, we can
Western
all...
Europe. That's true.
Well, we can pretty much all agree that this movie was not as it was advertised.
No, Tony lied to us, and I call bullshit.
Well, I don't know. Well, if you read even the description in terms of the Netflix...
I don't like spoilers.
It does not match up very
no,
well.
It doesn't! Because I did read the description, because it's like, whatever, find solace, the House of Boys in Amsterdam. Oh,
yeah, so we should have read the plot summary as it stands on IMDb. Because
I never do
told
that.
Us that. A glamorous, colorful coming-of-age story that follows the dramatic journey of Frank, a high school kid in 1984, through an exciting world of sex and music, when his deep new passion is suddenly turned into a struggle for courage facing a new disease, the gay cancer, and becomes a deep, true love in the expectancy of his friend's horrible death and beyond.
His friend's horrible death.
Yeah.
Friend.
Is it in quotes there?
No.
No.
The gay cancer is, though.
They can't even call him a boyfriend, though? I mean, jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't get married.
Partner?
But...
Yeah, life partner? Anything?
Damn it, Tony, I had something.
Well, this way, if you're looking for a movie that's hot, sexy, and everything else, this movie is not it.
If the first half of this movie is...
Well, the first half
There was
is,
even a distinct lack of penis in this movie.
There was no dick in this movie.
I was completely expecting it. Like, I was let down that I did not see cock. Like, there was a complete expectation of it. I did not expect the AIDS, though, either. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't expect the AIDS. Did not want the AIDS. More penis, less AIDS.
I'm guessing that was the trade-off, where it's like, well, we want kids to see this.
Yeah, well, what's the rating on this thing?
So
R?
Is it rated R?
Yeah.
For what?
Gotta be.
Well,
drug use. Naughty words.
Oh, language, yeah.
And there's man-ass.
First off...
You can see man-ass on television.
Yeah, man-ass is hilarious. Everybody shows man-ass. I sent like another Christmas card 1 year.
Is this movie even rated? I don't know if this movie even has a rating.
We're smoking.
There was smoking.
There was a lot of smoking.
Yep. Well, the 80s people did that.
The 80s was a dark time.
It wasn't that dark.
Stonewashed jeans. Fireball whiskey.
Didn't have Fireball whiskey. It was a lack of Fireball whiskey.
Yeah, yeah, the 80s sucked.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, like, yeah,
I don't remember
if
they sucked.
Yeah, what I remember about the 80s were the cartoons, so, you know.
Denver the Last Dinosaur. You know, he's my friend. And a whole lot more. It was clearly a gay subtext of that show.
Did they have the gay cancer in it?
Kinda. I think there was something wrong with Denver. Like, he was a dinosaur. Probably was some just gay kid. They like, personify him as a goddamn dinosaur.
Not only was it gay, it was interspecies. It makes it even worse.
Reptilian
We all
style.
Know how interspecies relationships all work out. Very
well,
badly.
Always well.
No, always badly.
Oh.
Seems really racist. Yeah, at the end of Avatar was good. They brought him back to life or something.
Yeah, but as a different species.
Species, not as a human.
Oh.
So... there you go. That's what you have to. You have to
so
convert.
So assimilation is.
You
the
have
only,
to convert.
You have to change for
to
your,
a different species in order for the relationship to work.
That kind
yes,
of
you have
in this
to
movie.
Change for your woman.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
The thing is, she got the ultimate female bonus. She changed. She fixed her man.
Yeah.
Fixed him good. I mean, like I only changed his mind. I changed his whole body.
Listen, Daryl, I'm already perfect. This temple over here.
Temple?
Yeah. Worship at the altar. So here's something that was weird about this movie. So I don't know if this was just an adolescent thing or a weird gay relationship thing. I don't understand. But, like, so when he starts rooming with Jake, when Frank starts rooming with Jake, he seems pissed that Jake is not gay.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on with
that
situation?
Yeah, that weird anger, well, about the whole...
Oh, you're gonna bang a chick? Man, fuck vaginas, I'm out of here. This sucks.
Girls are gross. Yeah, and he got really angry about it, and I think that we're supposed to presume that that's because he was really in love with him, but I never bought it because I'm like, that dude is not...
Yeah.
I don't
know. Hey, you know we're just roommates, right? Also, I'm not gay. Like everything past that was really weird and awkward.
Mm.
And then, like, he went into the other room, and Angelo's, like...
Angelo was awesome.
Angelo was awesome.
I liked every scene with Angelo.
Mm. He was great.
He was a good actor.
He was really hot as a chick.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
really hot.
Angela. I liked the actor. I thought that actor did a good job. And every scene he was in...
He stole it.
He stole every scene he was in.
He was a plucky gay friend.
He was.
Plucky,
yeah.
I wanted more of him.
He wasn't.
I wanted more of his story.
Yeah.
But I figured if that his story was
a sequel
story.
A sequel to this should be following Angelo.
No, what they really should have done is
like
they should have cut out the AIDS and they should have followed him to Singapore.
Singapore, yeah, that'd have been awesome.
That's the movie that
then it
I want to
Hangover.
See.
Yeah, it would have been The Hangover.
But he ends up as a woman at the end.
Well, that's yeah.
The
that's,
gay Hangover.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Angela is not gay. She's they're transgender.
So we'll call it queer hangover.
Yep.
There's a lot of terms, and I don't want to learn them all.
Yep. And they're all very confusing.
I don't find that.
The alt hangover.
The alt hangover. House of Boys, Part 2, Angela's Revenge.
Yeah, I would watch
Angelo. Slash out the O and put an A in there.
Yeah,
I'm feeling that's going to piss off somebody.
Well, of course, but that's the idea. If you don't piss off somebody, you're not working.
That's kind of the point of a Hangover movie, isn't it?
Really?
Is it?
I don't know. I still thought what they were just mediocre.
The first one was funny.
The shtick was not too much then.
It was good because it was fresh. And then they just redid it twice.
And you're not going like, to like Catching Fire, Tony. Spoiler, there's a Hunger Games.
Shit. But is Katniss still dumb?
Katniss is
Yep.
Still dumb.
Damn it.
It's an awful lot like the first.
They fixed a lot of my problems with the movie, but the fundamental flaw of the story...
Yeah, we get to see her as Mystique later.
Yeah.
In, what, in a couple months, so I'm
well, you've already seen her as Mystique.
She was good as Mystique.
She was. The fundamental flaw of the story is that everything interesting happens to other people, and they don't tell her about it. So she is not a participant in any of the major events of the story.
Wow.
Oh, well, we set this whole thing up. Oh, okay. And we couldn't tell you. All right. Thanks. Great.
Spoilers.
That's not a spoiler. Spoiler is that Woody Harrelson is incredible in every scene he's in.
That's a spoiler. That's not a spoiler. He was good. He was the same way in the first one.
He was the same way in the first one.
Is
he's even better than this one.
Is Lenny still as good?
Tony can't
tell. His eyeliner is fabulous.
Fabulous.
It's
fabulous.
I still want the Woody Harrelson, Lenny Kravitz prequel.
Oh, Tony, you gotta put Finnick in it. When you meet Finnick, you'll understand. Right.
Who's Finnick?
The guy with the trident.
Oh.
Sugar cubes?
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. He's alright.
He could have been in the House of Boys.
He should have been in the House. I would have enjoyed it way more.
Finnick is awesome.
I like how the whole setup of this movie is that he goes to Amsterdam with his friends and they just fucking bail on him.
Then he calls his mom. I'm going to go get your father. This is too much. Happy birthday. And then his family is never mentioned or talked about again.
Yeah, they did a lot of little things like that where it's like, we're gonna throw a token reference in here. But that's all you need. Let's move on. This is not the interesting... We're doing this because somebody's going to ask about it, and then we're going to move on.
If we don't do this, people will complain about it. It's defensive directing because of the internet.
Yeah. This movie felt like somebody's grandparents funded it because they had a grandchild that died of the AIDS, and that's why there was no dick in it. Like, we'll show dudes making out because we want to believe that our grandson was in love, but
we have to show that they're gay.
But we don't want the full gay.
We can't think of any other way for gay men to express the fact that they're gay other than dudes making out. But we don't want to show dudes doing it because that's gross.
I've never done this with a boy.
Yeah. So we'll have awkward dialogue like that.
Yeah, that was the one really bad... I can forgive them giving us an exposition that Jake was the hottest boy in the club.
I can't forgive that, Tony.
I can't forgive the fact that he was such a terrible actor.
Clearly, when Udo here is in that house, Tony, no one else is the hottest boy in the house.
I love how Udo Kier was the hottest boy at some point.
He was.
I love that story.
That story was awesome.
Story was crazy. I got a car and a plane ticket around the world, and then I came back.
Again, this movie suffers from something that a lot of movies are suffering from now, which is starting to confuse me. The main characters I do not give a shit about, but like all the side characters are really awesome. Udo Kier was awesome. Stephen Fry was awesome.
Mohawk guy was awesome.
Angelo was awesome.
Televised Reagan was spectacular.
Televised Reagan was spectacular.
Yeah.
The voice of moral authority in the film? He was like the sign in Great Gatsby. Panopticon.
The war between Stephen Fry and Televised Reagan was amazing. Yeah. Like the disdain is like, I'm going to beat your ass. It's like you just felt like that was the subtext of everything Stephen Fry said. It's like, just let me meet you once so I can punch you in the throat.
No, that should have been the third act.
That should have been the third act.
Traveling to the
Stephen
U.S.
Fry.
To, punch,
yeah, you know
to
what?
Give Reagan the beat down.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
Got closure to find out everything else. And then he finds out that Reagan is gay. That would have been the ultimate payoff.
We got closure on everything else except for Stephen Fry and Reagan. Mohawk guy had that weird scene in the hallway.
I actually kind of dug that. I thought that was appropriate.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
A scene with Stephen Fry watching the election and seeing Reagan have to not be nominated again for office. I guess that would be about the closest you could have to closure on that.
Or no, it's jump an epilogue. Forward, like however 15, 20 years later, Reagan said.
Standing over his tomb. I buried you, old man.
Furiously masturbating.
Furiously.
Furiously? Fast and furious?
Furious. Angry. Just revenge masturbation.
Revenge masturbation.
The vendetta wank. A lot of different types, but the revenge masturbation is my best.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to
wake up right here and now on your grave, and you're going to like it.
Keep watching you with the shot glasses.
He could do it in the memorial library, and when he has to do it in between guards passing by, so he does it with a fear boner.
The fear boner.
And a sense of urgency.
And he just spits jelly beans at everyone.
It's the ticking clock.
That can be in the background, the ticking, the large clock just ticking away in the background.
It's too artsy. I'm out for that.
Oh. Hey, this is European film. They gotta
be artsy.
Line.
That's the step too far.
You cross the line.
That's the line that Spanksgiving will not cross.
Oh, now it's Spanksgiving.
Spanksgiving.
Yeah, now it's Spanksgiving.
And it's Spanksgiving.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Like AIDS.
Sparks.
Like AIDS. I feel like AIDS keeps on taking, though.
The gay cancer.
And plague.
And plague.
See, that just makes me too sad.
It brings the room down.
I really just...
Like, the movie starts... The movie starts at such a high point. It, I mean...
No, it was like
banging in the shower. I mean...
I kind of want to...
You start with banging in the shower and
why
you
is this? Why is this movie harshing my mellow?
I know.
Because sex, dudes kissing. What the shit?
Because that's what happens when dudes have sex. They die.
This movie is damaging.
God hates them.
To be fair,
gives them
pretty
this
much
disease.
Everybody dies after they have sex. I mean,
no, it's true. Sex, yeah. Sex is deadly. I mean,
it may be a couple decades later, but you're gonna die
because you had sex with a dude.
I wouldn't draw a correlation there.
I think we've said just about everything. AIDS.
Damn you, AIDS! Bring the room down. AIDS. I sort of feel like that's what I want my contribution to the AIDS quilt to be is, AIDS, you really brought the room down.
You're a good plot point.
I liked how they did show the ignorance of that they didn't know what was causing it. They didn't know to be afraid of sex. Oh, he was feeling better, so we made love.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful that you two did that. Yeah, it was like,
I will say that as a child of my particular age, when I was like, I don't know, 10 years old, they showed us that ABC made for TV movie about Ryan White. Did you also see this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It is about the kid who was a hemophiliac and then he got AIDS. And then
his clotting factor.
Yeah, so they made a made-for-TV movie about this kid, and it freaked me out so much that I was convinced that I was going to get AIDS. Just like, because a 10-year-old kid can't process that.
Here's the thing,
stuff.
Though, like...
Like, I'm going to get AIDS.
Around that time, everybody thought they were going to get AIDS. Like, that was the thing.
Like, there was a fear that it was going to become airborne.
Listen, if anybody falls down at school, you stay away from them.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Because you're going to get AIDS.
Because you're going to get AIDS. First off, does anybody here actually know anybody with AIDS? No. All right. Then let's move on. I went to a small Catholic school. It was rampant. Listen, they peddle fear as a business anyway.
Catholicism?
Yeah. So it's just one more log to throw on that fear fire.
Well, that's a big one, too.
The sex will kill you.
Yeah. You can have premarital sex, but your dick's going to fall off and it's going to kill you. Well, before, you don't want to put it like that.
Before, the only threat was you're going to hell. And now it's you will die and you're going to hell.
Yeah. It will accelerate horribly. Your journey.
You're going to die horribly.
You're guaranteed to get AIDS.
It's like 150% chance.
Nobody gets the crabs anymore. It's just AIDS.
Standing outside when two other people are doing it and you're going to get AIDS.
Yes, just from the
airport, don't stop it.
Just from the cooties being blown off.
Proximity AIDS.
Negative weight AIDS.
And they showed, like, full-blown lesion all over the face.
Yeah, the sarcoma.
Yeah, the sarcoma was intense.
Hey.
I think the last time I saw
that, AIDS punches.
No, the last time I really saw a movie that did that was Philadelphia. Like the only other movie I can think of is Philadelphia.
I haven't seen Philadelphia, so I don't think I've ever seen a movie that's gone full on sarcoma AIDS.
This one was far more.
It was way grosser. Because Tom Hanks, they kind of made it. I mean, it was gross, but it wasn't.
But he also tried to cover it up. I mean, he was actively putting makeup over it and stuff like that to try to cover it up because he was going to court and they were trying to make a point of making him look as normal as possible to go to court.
You know what's weird about this? Like, in a time when the go-to disease is cancer, you make an AIDS movie.
You mean like as in modern era?
Like the last 10 years, the go-to disease is cancer. The go-to sickness is cancer.
Really?
Sausage Fest.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about cancer movies, and the only thing I can think of is like...
Beaches.
50-50.
Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad's a big cancer. Okay, but now list off all your AIDS movies. Philadelphia. I feel like cancer.
You know, they kind of, I mean, but the thing is, you know, now that we got the cocktail, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, who would have thought that Magic Johnson would still be, not only still be alive, but still looking pretty healthy at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the cocktail is amazing because it works really well. So now you get AIDS, you can probably, with treatment, live a couple of more decades. And so it's kind of like, you know.
Well, it turned it into a chronic.
It's not 84 anymore.
It's no longer so deadly. It's now just a manageable chronic disease.
Right. But that's what I'm saying, though. The movie was made in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it depicts events in 84.
I know, but it was an awareness movie.
It was also super indie.
It was super indie, but it's an awareness movie that's also a time period movie. Which is weird because it's a raising awareness for something that is less.
Yeah, and they one
we
of
still
the
have AIDS. It's
one
still
of the ways they raise awareness is they flash that news story about Rock Hudson, and it's like ooh, timely because Rock Hudson died forever ago.
And the cards at the end.
Right? Yeah, it's a little heavy-handed.
Well, yeah, but again, it's only mentioned. You know, this movie feels like it was made from somebody's. It was inheritance money. And if you look at the end of the credits, the list of contributors and film agencies and everything else that put money into this or in some way contributed to its funding.
Yeah, it was Kickstarter. This is where our Kickstarter money went for the Punch-Out movie.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we should add an AIDS element?
Oh, right? No. We have to pick something more obscure.
So not cancer, not AIDS.
How would you feel about... Don't get Luke started on fibromyalgia. No.
Or lupus.
Lupus.
Sickle cell anemia.
There we go.
Oh.
That's why the guy is coaching the kid.
No, he's got sickle cell.
Which is not, well, I'm thinking about it.
The coach is a black guy. It's a good angle.
Lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, erectile dysfunction. That's something everybody can understand.
IBS.
Itchy burning.
IBS is solid.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. And he's gluten intolerant.
Gluten intolerance is
lactose
also
intolerant, gluten intolerant, and irritable bowel.
And that's why he's got to train the kid to spread the word about
even
gluten.
Better. Even better. He's
the evil of bread companies.
Allergic to cooked tomatoes.
Oh, and God chocolate. Damn it. God damn it.
I actually know a guy who's allergic to chocolate and cooked tomatoes.
Cooked tomatoes as in, like, steamed, stewed, chilied, whatever.
Yes.
Nothing processed. Huh?
How do you chili a tomato?
Well, in chili.
Yes, tomatoes in chili. That is the correct way you should say
it. Tomatoes in chili is gross just in general.
Mm.
Just like the bits of tomato in there. Mm-hmm. Puree that shit. Listen, we all understand that tomatoes are a necessary evil. For things like ketchup, which is good.
They're not evil.
And like tomatoes.
Yeah, nothing about tomatoes, it's evil.
I like tomatoes.
Everything about tomatoes is wonderful.
Tomatoes make cheeseburgers so even better.
Like raw tomatoes? Disgusting. I cut up a raw tomato and eat it?
You're so gross.
I cut slices and
the inside is gelled.
Sprinkle a little bit of salt on
it.
I worked in a produce department for 7 years. I am very familiar with
it. Yeah, have you ever sat down with a tomato that you just picked from a garden? And then eaten its wonderful deliciousness.
Because I don't like eating tomatoes.
Juicy succulents.
There's a consistency on the inside of the tomato that is not natural. Which is really funny because, you know, you grow it naturally, I assume, in most instances, unless you're Monsanto. But
you're not natural.
But that it's not natural on the inside.
You gotta watch out.
Listen, what I watched that is not natural.
I watched a fascinating documentary called "Attack of the Killer Tomatoes" once.
Oh yeah, right. A classic of our times. Yes, a warning from the past.
So maybe you guys don't understand about the true dangers. They're gonna. It's gonna be the downfall of our society.
Is that the one with or without Clooney?
I don't know. I didn't realize there were more than one.
Wasn't there two?
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're actually way more cool.
I don't think Melina got the joke when we watched it.
How do you not get that joke?
I'm sure she got the joke. I just don't think she thought it was as funny as I did.
Well, but that's, I mean, I guess that's a given because it's really not that funny.
It was pretty goddamn funny. The concept was hilarious.
All right, so there was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes in 78. There was Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yep.
Killer Tomatoes Strike Back.
Like they do.
Killer Tomatoes Eat France.
No. That's too many.
So, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes kind of in 78 has a 4.5 out of 10.
Really?
Return of the Killer Tomatoes has 4.9 out of 10. And
really was 88. It was a superior.
Killer Tomatoes Strike Back in 91 only has 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
But... Three. Killer Tomatoes Eat France has 3.1 out of 10. Mm. That was in 92.
Well then.
They maintain a consistency of their movies.
Oh, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Seen that.
That is a quality flick.
5.8. Them shooting the cotton candy.
I got drunk guns. At this coworker that I used to have his house. I was going to pass out, and then they turned it on.
Raped
I can't,
you and made
can't
you watch.
Stop watching a movie once they put a movie on. So I'm drunk. I'm like, God, I just want to go to sleep. I can't stop watching this movie. And then I stayed up and watched it. I'm like, man, I'm going home now. This sucks.
The movie sobered you up.
It did sober me up. Mm. I was pissed. It
scared you straight.
Yeah, again.
It wasn't that turbulent a time
for me. Yeah, but you never did it with a boy.
I didn't do it with a boy, but that was largely a conscious decision on my part.
I never kissed
a
boy before.
Oh, no, I've kissed boys. I've kissed
a lot of boys. I've never made love to a boy
before. I've never made love to a boy. I haven't kissed a boy with a gluten allergy.
Ooh.
What?
I was drinking a beer. I'm going to rinse my mouth out first. It was Josh. It was on the scavenger hunt.
At Gen Con?
So was getting a girl to deep throat a hot dog. Ooh. But the picture I got was two chicks in a Steak and Shake double end deep throating the hot dog.
That was bonus points.
That was bonus points. It was magnificent.
Yeah.
It was magnificent. Gen Con's a beautiful place.
Because you could find the kind of girls that would be willing to do that.
Most of the girls
Steak and Shake in general. Yeah. I think that Steak and Shake in general, you'll find that.
Well, at a certain time of day, sure.
Oh, yeah. Gen Con, that certain time of day is all day. Because there's one Steak and Shake like downtown, and the convention center's around it, so there's 80,000 nerds. And one Steak and Shake, it's like the only viable food option. Yeah. Oh, this year they had food trucks lined up down the street, and that was a good call.
That's nice. A good call on their part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really relieved a lot of food congestion. I didn't eat there, though. It was a Subway next door.
Did you try the food trucks?
I'm not a big
Always try the food
I'm
trucks.
I'm not a big food truck. And none of the food trucks look good. I just want a burger or something simple. But the food trucks are like those hipster new age food trucks. It's here's the Ethiopian food truck. No, I don't want to eat
Ethiopian. Sometimes the food is spectacular.
Yeah,
though.
I'm sure it was, but there was nothing I was in the mood for.
I had a fantastic burrito at a food truck once, like best burrito ever.
So much. It was so good. You remembered it to tell the story about it.
That's right.
Podcast. Listen, I'm not, but there was no Mexican food truck.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but not even like Korean
tacos food truck.
There was a taco truck. There was a Cajun truck.
No, tacos truck.
Oh, tacos truck. Yeah. The EBDB.
Which I saw the description of that episode, and I was like, God damn it!
I know.
Julie was like, "What?" And I said, "All right, so."
This is
couple
what an
months
Eskimo
ago,
brother is.
A couple of months ago. No, she knows what an Eskimo brother is. From the league. So a couple months ago, Adam and I had this idea of an Eskimo Brothers website where you could link them all together. God damn it if Taco doesn't do it in the last episode.
God damn it.
This season... My boss always jokes about like the Big Bang Theory. He's like, I feel like What's-His-Face has our office bugged. He just steals plots from us.
I feel like this season of the league, that's happening to me.
Yeah.
We have a player in our league who never sets her lineup just like Taco, and so I've been calling it the bye week all season because when you play her, you always win. She always gets like 40 points. It's like, you never don't win. Although she beat somebody last week. It's pretty funny.
So then
that episode where Taco stops smoking pot, they're like, I need my Taco bye week. I'm like, God damn it. That's my Adrian bye week. I don't even know why she plays. I think the only reason she plays is so that we have an even number, but we had two people who volunteered to do that, and both of them played. I don't know, I'm 11-1, so I don't really care.
So how does playoffs work for fantasy football? Enlighten me, I don't understand this.
Best four teams.
Okay.
That's a bracket. First plays the fourth, and then second and third play each other. And then the winner goes on to the next week.
Do you still do that during regular season?
Yeah.
You pretty much have to, right?
Yeah, you have to do it weeks like 14 through 17. Because some leagues you play two games. So 1 and 4 will play twice, and then the total points moves on. And then the losers play each other in the loser's bracket for third and fourth.
Okay.
Kind of actually works just like how the normal playoffs work, only there's not 32 teams.
Cool.
It wasn't that exciting.
I was just curious. It was just a question. I could have looked it up. It's okay. But why?
Peyton's going to take me. Yeah, I got faith in Peyton.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the picture, and then I saw you posting it. Jesus Christ.
Tom right? Brady? Yeah.
Brady are you talking about the Dexter picture?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Clipped it. I looked it up. I clipped it out and posted it.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that, and somebody, they made the right call, that he looks like Dexter, and it's Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah.
He looks like a war hero. Like, he looks like somebody who's just coming back from World War II.
Yeah, well, the two of them on the game when they were...
Yeah.
Put the picture side by side, and it's like Dexter next to Mr., fake smile.
Newt Rockne.
Yeah. Oh, but Tony, the game was so good.
Was it?
It's football. Are you talking about the
Pats Broncos?
Pats Broncos. It was a good game.
It was so good. So
I did not see that one coming.
Oh my God, Tony. So the first quarter, like, Patriots throw an interception or fumble the ball, return for a touchdown, like first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
So they get the ball back.
I got you doing it now too.
I know. They got the ball back, then I think they fumble again.
Yep.
And then Peyton trots out there and boom, another touchdown. And then it happens a third time, but they only settle for a field goal. So like at the half it was, I don't know, it was like 23-3 or something ridiculous like that.
No, they were scoreless at the half, I think.
Were they? Weren't
they? I think.
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah, no.
Zero or three.
It was like, it was at a point where I'm like, I'm walking away because I know how this is going
to
go.
Yeah. So then the Patriots come back out, rally to tie, and then beat them in overtime.
Wow.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was like that Dexter picture was accurate. When Brady came back out, yeah, he just eviscerated the Broncos after that. Because I don't think they scored again for the rest of the game.
No,
until they overtime.
Didn't. They didn't. And then there was the best handshake at the end ever. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the best. It was a good game, Tony. I was really happy I did not go to bed.
It was on at like, it went to like 11:30 at night.
It was late.
No.
So, Clooney was in Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
The good one.
The good one.
The other one.
1988.
The quality one.
The highest rated one.
The highest rated.
That was a quality flick. Says I, who saw it at like the age of 12.
Slider Syndrome.
Never seen it.
Slider taught us a very valuable lesson. Taught us two very valuable lessons. First is the crying man Rembrandt Brown can cry out of each eye individually.
Noted.
That's lesson one.
Noted.
Lesson two is you can't go back. You cannot go back and watch Sliders now. In your mind, it was really good, but you cannot go back.
That's true about, yeah, but that lesson has already been learned. Because there was a lot of shit that I liked as a child that is really heinously awful. Just not very good.
Give us some examples so we can make fun of you.
Make fun of me.
I'm drunk and honest.
Jim. Yeah.
This is going to be Jim.
Yeah.
It's unwatchable.
The hologram.
It is. It is unwatchable. I watched it faithfully.
She-Ra.
She-Ra also really awful.
To be fair, so was He-Man.
He-Man was also unwatchable.
Yeah.
All of those.
I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I got to do this.
Yeah, Tony, that looks like, you know what that looks like? One of those like wooden bucket things they have in Japanese gardens.
Yeah.
Only now you've filled it with booze.
I mean, I suppose you could get glass.
I'm not going to spill it. I'm not going to spill it.
It's going to end up in my mouth. It's going to end up in that laptop. Well, Tony, you've successfully scooped more of that whiskey into you.
We spent another perfectly good hour listening to our rambles.
Wait, what?
That was an NPR reference.
Hey, some more bad things that you like. Let's go.
Oh, God. Let's see. After that just vibrant discussion about Ghostbusters, I have seen it recently, and it's not that good.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters is a good movie. Ghostbusters 2 is fucking awful.
Well, yes, that's true. But Ghostbusters itself, not... It doesn't... I don't know. I didn't think it holds up.
Everybody
really
is upset
don't.
About not having me not having seen it, which confuses me. Is only speaking from a place of nostalgia.
I've seen it recently. I still like it.
I still like it. I don't care if you don't...
Tony, you like the prequels. Come on.
I don't... I didn't hate the prequels.
That, to me, says you liked it. I find it very difficult.
I enjoyed them while I watched them. They fall apart very quickly if you think about them at all. There is some terrible direction in those movies. And they made a fatal flaw in the second movie that they could have fixed in the third movie, but Lucas just continued down the path of...
He was in too deep, Tony.
He was.
Luke, pull out.
Noted.
Use the Force, Lucas.
I actually
use midichlorians.
Wait, what is the fatal? Which fatal flaw are you talking about?
All right, so in the second movie,
did you say flaw like singular? Like there,
well,
like,
I
there
mean,
was one
no, he mentions fatal
problem.
Flaw, and I'm thinking, I'm going through the movie, and I'm like, well, which? I mean, there's a lot of flaws, but I don't know which
all
one
right,
you're talking about.
So the biggest flaw in the second movie,
yeah,
actually, the two biggest flaws in the second movie is number one. That they should have ended it earlier and given us an opportunity for more of the Clone Wars in the third movie and make it about the Clone Wars instead of just completely skipping the Clone Wars altogether in a weird way.
Time jump, Tony. Stuff happened.
Stuff happened, but they don't even tell us the good stuff. They wait and do it with a crappy cartoon, which... There were good points in that cartoon, but it was mostly crappy from what I saw. Anyway, the biggest problem with it was the terrible love story that they could have explained with Anakin being the master Jedi that he is, like a raw force of the Force. I mean, he was just full of raw potential. And he's an angsty teenager.
So many midichlorians.
And he's an angsty teenager.
You imply that he should have forced himself upon her?
I what? Yes, that he used the Force to do a mind
trick
to make her love him.
That's gross. That's just gross.
But it fixes it. If they say that in the third movie, that her love for him is not love, it was him pushing his will onto her to make her like him, like a stalker does.
Yeah.
The stalker mentality is, she just says she doesn't want me around. She just means that she just wants me.
She just doesn't know
to hide
enough,
in her bushes. Yeah. Listen, that's the word she likes.
Listen.
Yeah.
Rule number 8. No is a mispronunciation of now.
Exactly. And if they fix that, if they say that, the implication of that just sunk in. If they fix that in the third movie and say, look, he used the Force to make her love him, then all those really stupid and awkward love scenes in the second movie actually make complete sense. They totally make sense that it was just his will forcing her to say those things just to validate his feelings for her.
Mm.
Like, she didn't love him. He just made her do that. And then the implication is that he rejects that in the end after she's pregnant, which kills her. His rejection of that once he realizes that he did all that, once they're separated, once he is distracted from her, that she's fucking terrified and runs away and that she doesn't really love him. And he has a moment of clarity and it sinks in and he rejects her and therefore kills her when she's pregnant, sends him over the deep end, that arc of him becoming Vader, that it's all his fault and has all been his fault the whole time, Palpatine has kind of led him down the path, sure, but he's the one that jumped it. He's the one that just pushed forward.
See, I would have gone a different direction with this.
I feel like that
is looking ahead far too many steps, because I feel like those movies, nobody looked ahead at all.
Well, really? Oh, no, I think they suffered from too much looking ahead in
general.
You think
so?
Yeah.
Well,
I think what they could have done to make it clever was not that, but the entire second movie when Obi-Wan has the interesting plot line where he's chasing down the stuff and doing all this action stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of sending...
Because that's actually good.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's good.
It's good.
It's a decent space adventure. But that is the problem that I think the romance suffers from. There's no reason for them to be off by themselves doing anything. So who cares? So you might as well make it an adventure on par with what Obi-Wan's doing and then toss in some... They're out on their own. This is his first time, being away from Obi-Wan.
Or they're captives.
Yeah, some adventure and not just wandering around. Uh-huh. Where at the end, they accomplish some thing. And then, they've got an actual relationship then. So he and her hook up kind of in secret. And later, Obi-Wan finds out about it. And the third movie is the Jedi Council... now knows that he has a family and she's pregnant and they are after his ass. And so the only place that he can finally turn is Palpatine, who doesn't necessarily corrupt him, but turns him into a person who believes he's doing the right thing to protect his family. So later on in Return of the Jedi, when he finally understands that Palpatine is directly involved with the murder of his son, that he's like, oh, shit. Maybe yeah. I took this too far. And then...
That's another good choice. That's another good way to do it.
His redemption is a lot more poignant. Like, it means something to somebody.
The thing about the relationship between Leia and Han Solo in Empire is that it's completely antagonistic. Up until the point where they're like, okay, yeah, we really do like each other.
Yeah, Tony, it's just pulling hair and throwing sticks flirting.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. and that worked because
there are
the
two most attractive people in the movie.
Yeah.
There's an innocence to it because it is the pulling hair and throwing sticks flirting. It's very innocent. It's very childlike. Where these two are just like, ooh, we're going to be creepy and think we're adults having an adult relationship, but we're really not. And the last time I saw you, you were 10 years old and I was like 15, and this is really kind of weird now, but
that's
it's not weird. Yeah.
Yeah, so that whole thing is weird. Could have done without all that. But I do appreciate that the prequels have given me something that they can never take away. And that's plaintiff reviews
of
prequels, which have a special place in my heart. Tony, sometimes I watch them, like, weekly.
That's a little weird.
In my heart, I watch them.
Wow.
And on the TV, I watch them. I have them bookmarked on my Apple TV so I can watch them regularly, even though hard-to-find ones.
So you're caught up on Walking Dead.
I am.
I chubbed up when I saw the tank.
I also chubbed
up. So you noticed it right away? Like,
oh Jesus! When he's hanging the clothes and they pan back and it's attached to the fucking tank. I was like, oh my god!
Julie's
like, what is going on? I said, it's the tank. It's the tank. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you have to know what I'm talking about. It's the goddamn tank that he rides into the prison when he assaults the prison. This is awesome.
I actually noticed it because they had it. They had the gun sitting like pointed behind his head, so it was like off, like way off, and you could kind of see it. I'm like, I don't know what's happening, Sean, but I think that's a tank.
I tend to watch TV while I'm doing other things, like playing around on my tablet.
Yeah, that's...
And so I didn't notice that. I wasn't fully... And when they panned back, though, I looked up and it was like, holy shit, that's the tank!
Then you were ready.
I was.
Prepare to be boarded.
It was going to be a rough night. Just deal with it.
You know, it's really frustrating. We were watching something of the many things that we watch...
Cool story.
Damn it.
Dracula?
No.
I watched Dracula. That's not
that
too
show
bad.
Is not good.
There's a lot worse on TV than
there's a lot worse on TV. Did you notice that one of these stuffy old white guys is goddamn Patrick from Coupling?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. But here's the shitty thing about Dracula. The most interesting plot has nothing to do with vampires. It's about him disrupting the oil monopoly with his remote power. Like, that is a plot line I would watch.
That's a good...
With no supernatural elements whatsoever.
That's a fun story.
Yeah, it is a fun story.
That and I love Renfield.
Yeah, Renfield.
Love
awesome.
Renfield. Yeah, that's Renfield. Huel.
Yeah, that is the Huel of this show. Yeah, that's fantastic. So I would watch all of that plot line and do not care about any of the rest of it.
I want to see a television show that's Huel going back in time and meeting Renfield and them having a buddy drinking show.
All right.
A romantic comedy.
House of Boys scenario.
Yeah. Romantic comedy.
And they run into, like, Udo Kier.
And he gives them both AIDS. Oh, that would bring it down.
You brought the room down.
Yeah, Jesus.
Tony, God damn it.
You ruined Thanksgiving.
Skanksgiving.
It was really weird. Remember the Brady Manning Bowl? They constantly showed these pictures of turkeys getting ready to be slaughtered. This is a weird thing. Like, yeah, all right.
You don't think this is an educational way for you to realize the horrors of death?
No, I'm going to eat the turkey, but I don't need to see all these walking turkeys around before you slaughter them.
But really, before that, they should show pictures of skanks applying very thick makeup.
I found that not everybody celebrates like we do, Tony.
They're wrong.
Oh, I'm not saying they're
right. This is a high holy day for backseat producers.
It is a high holy day for backseat producers, even though you picked the worst movie for it ever.
Man, I thought it was going to be good.
This movie is the boner shrinker. This movie is the boner shrinker.
I agree. It seemed like such a good idea at the time.
It did seem like
Netflix lied to us.
Yes, it really did.
Because there was that other hooker movie that I was going to do before that, and it was like, oh, House of Boys, that sounds even better.
You know what? Netflix now has this idea about me and what I watch, and that's a taint that.
They already had an idea about me. Because what was the other gay movie we watched?
There have been a few.
But the most recent one, the one that had Patrick Stewart in it.
Oh, what was that?
Because that one was good, and I kind of felt like that's what I wanted from this, because the heavy handed AIDS bit in that. I don't think it was cancer in that. The heavy-handed illness in that happened to somebody else and not the main character. So the movie wasn't quite as much of a buzzkill.
Wait a minute. I think they changed the description because I don't remember this being the description. It's 1984 and Frank, a frustrated gay teen, flees to Amsterdam where he finds a new home and a job at the House of Boys. That's what I remember.
That's what I read, yeah.
Wait. Frank has no trouble fitting in and frequently falls in love, but a newly discovered disease is about to change all that.
Whoa,
what?
Whoa.
It's there.
That's not what I read.
That's not what
I
read
either. Line.
I think they updated it.
They must have.
They listened to our podcast and realized the horrible mistakes.
God
Jeffrey.
Damn. Jeffrey, that was it.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good and fun gay.
HIV positive. He was HIV positive. It was Steven Weber and...
Oh, yeah. No, it was AIDS.
It was AIDS.
It was still AIDS.
Well, in this comedy, adapted from Paul Rudnick's off-Broadway hit play, a young gay actor waiter Steven Weber finds Mr. Right after becoming celibate, a move inspired by his fear of AIDS. Struggling with the notion of commitment after learning his perfect mate is HIV positive, he relies on his best friend, Patrick Stewart, as an interior decorator, and a hilariously lascivious priest, Nathan Lane, to help him find the way.
I enjoyed that movie much more.
Yeah.
There was still AIDS, but it was like fun AIDS.
It was.
Not fun sad, AIDS. Angry AIDS.
So there's sad, angry AIDS. There's realistic gay male dancer strippers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a romantic gay plot, which is actually really pretty sweet.
Sarcoma.
It's weird. Yeah, I still didn't.
So much
sarcoma. What's the romantic gay plot between Stephen Fry and Ronald Reagan?
I kind of feel like.
Because I bought that relationship right away.
I kind of feel like that was. Stephen Fry's anger is his latent homophobia because he's really gay and he's gay for Ronald Reagan. And that's where his anger comes from. He's
unrequited love. I mean, his gayness.
The more homophobic you are,
More gay you are.
Yeah, when you see images of naked men, the more aroused you become.
So you have to hate that even more because of what you are.
I know guys that I think they might like might be gay, but be in such denial that it just comes out as machismo tied into
lust,
hatred of women. It's weird.
I know a guy. Emily and I go back to this phrase all the goddamn time because it's hysterical. So I have this friend who is clearly gay, which is fine, be gay, but like, I don't know if he has a problem with it or what, but is constantly trying to hide it. So like, always talks up women in this like bizarre way. Like, there's a locker room talk about women, but there's like, there's a line that you don't. That's not weird. So it's like, what's it? I love talking to chicks. You never know where it's gonna go. What does that mean?
What?
Like, straight men don't say things like that. Straight men say like, yeah, I love talking to chicks because I'm gonna bang them afterwards. Like that, I don't know, it's just a weird...
Love dating women, you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah, you never know where it's going to go. What?
I know who you're talking
about.
You
don't, but I do.
I know who you're talking about, and yeah. It's like, it's weird because it's like, wait, I thought you were gay. Why are you with a chick? It doesn't make any sense. Because you're
Why are you with that jerk?
That too. There was that also. Because I remember that, and that was a little weird. Bit of that. Yeah. It's like, are you... I don't know, man, because...
Don't stay on my couch. That's a concern I have.
Yeah. Yeah, because that did happen at your place. I remember that now.
Just before we finish the basement. Finish the basement in quotes.
Finish the basement like when we played, when we game down there?
God damn it, Tony. We knocked down all the walls in my basement, and like we framed it. We never actually put the drywall in, so we started gaming down there. So this asshole has like these squeaky shoes on. Well, my house was like a million years old, so when you walked around upstairs, like, the floors would creak.
Yeah.
So like he's doing this thing like with his shoe, so it's like creaking, and I'm like, man, who is upstairs? So, like I'm running upstairs.
To the point where he actually runs upstairs. He runs upstairs, and now I'm like, I keep making the noise, and everybody's like, "What is it?" It's like, "It's my shoes." Tell him. So he comes back downstairs, and I start doing it again, and it's everything we could do. Like, because now we're all in on it. And I think Chris was there at the time, and Chris is like giggling, just like giggling like a maniac.
Yeah, nah, that was the worst.
That was kind of funny.
I was like, is Melina going to kill me when she gets home because I let the cats die? There's like 50% of the things I think all the time about the house. Is Melina going to murder me when she gets home because the cats did X?
Or didn't do X. Or you killed them with the gay play.
You really can't fault them for not doing something.
No, you gave them kitty plague.
I guess not going to the bathroom in the litter box.
Mm-hmm. You pooped in your shoes?
I've never pooped in my shoes. But yet. When Romeo was really sick, he did pee in my slippers
and then
on my recliner.
Mm.
And then I remember I was really pissed at him.
Well, he was already pissed at you.
Yeah. Like, I was really pissed. And then we found out he was really sick, and I was like, oh, shit.
That's why he did it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah, I know. And then I was like, yeah. And I was so pissed at him. I was like, God, why are you pissing my shit? And then later I was like, God, why didn't you tell me you were sick?
Oh wait.
Now I'm gay. Yes. Now.
Oh, wait, you did. I was just too stupid to realize what
now
was
you
happening.
Now you must feel very small.
And then they were like, yeah, he might. Like, we got like 50-50 on him making the night. I'm like, ah, oh, damn it. Now I feel really guilty.
But he's doing good now.
He's
doing great now.
Well,
that's good to hear.
It's relative, I guess. It's awful.
Damned animal.
You have to take away their food at night. Because he can't eat. Because at 6 o'clock in the morning, he has to take a pill.
Mm.
But he can't eat after he takes a pill. But an hour later...
So he's like a mogwai.
Yeah. An hour later, he has to take another pill and eat. So midnight, I have to take all the food away, and then I have to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning, give him a pill, and then wait an hour. And of course, he's pissed, because he's hungry.
You gave him a pill.
Because like you give him the little pill pocket things.
Mm-hmm.
So like he starts to eat, and then he doesn't let him have any more food, and then he gets really pissed. So we're on like week 3 of this whole situation.
It's like, fuck, can you people just let me back outside?
Yeah, no kidding.
I can do what I want out there. You people are the worst.
Yeah, I know. Listen, your life is fine.
I thought I was going to get all these chicks to bang in here.
Yeah. And
cut my balls off and bring me in the house.
It is fun, though. Sick. Like, so we've reintegrated him back into the cats.
And we've never had a male cat, so watching him dominate the other cats has been a fantastic experience.
Are they all females?
The rest of them are.
Oh.
So, like, you just go up to them and, like, they'll be growling and hissing and batting at him. He just doesn't give a shit. He's just, like, staring them down. Finally just gonna roll over and submit. It's pretty funny. Animals are funny. I see it happen at bars, too.
What's that?
I see it happen at bars, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually just a bunch of drinks, though, and eventually the standard's lower enough so that the women just give in.
Submit to your dominance. Like a cat.
It's like a passive dominance. Mm.
Secretly.
So giving up.
Usually that at Archon, too.
Is like, all right.
You see that at Archon, you get that. You get those guys that are just, I have another drink. I have another drink. I'm going to keep talking to you about Farscape.
I like 1 o'clock.
You're
morning,
going to be interesting.
You start to see the attractive people pair off, and then it continues to go downhill from there.
Yeah.
It's desperation meets desperation.
It's the desperate.
Whatever, people want to
bang.
That's
fine. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to talk about Farscape with somebody else, so I'm okay with that.
I just imagine that all those people are doing, like, weird Cylon role-playing, and they're all, yeah. All the men
like,
are disappointed.
All of them have just
that's
like,
why
have
they're glow, having all the fun.
They're having, they take those glow bands and tape them to their back while they're banging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All the men are disappointed that the women aren't six, and all the women are disappointed that the men aren't
Baltar.
Yeah. So just imagine it's just
in glowing,
banging sea of disappointed, angry nerds. Oh, it's so beautiful in my mind.
Oh, my God.
And we facilitate that with Sausage
angry,
Fest.
Angry Cylon sex.
We just get them drunk and make it. We're enablers.
When I walk down the hall, sometimes I just run my hand lightly across like the hallways.
Just sensing the energy.
Angry nerds. Hate banging.
You could feel it coming through the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why is it hate banging? Why isn't it just desperation banging?
Disappointment banging, then.
That's fine.
Because you're not Punches Lamb.
Yeah.
Well, the self-loathing's going to come at some point, all right?
That's for the next morning.
Well, there's a lot of... There's also the latent homosexuality that's being denied and rejected by trying to bang somebody of the opposite sex.
Listen, Tony, I picked up that guy fair and square. I did pick up a guy at Archon last year. It was pretty awesome. It didn't go anywhere, though.
Not enough anger.
I want to bang a dude.
Not enough anger.
But I'm a flirt. Not even for the story.
Not even for the story. It's just, men are just so ugly. Nothing. There's like this 0.1% of men who are tolerable to look at. But I know even that, like, cream of the crop, when you get them naked, you'll be like, oh, this is just unworkable. This is just not, this whole situation's not good.
All right, so who would you go broke back for, then? Ooh. I guess this is the question.
Idris Elba. Is there a question?
That's true.
Did you see him take down that spaceship in Thor?
You said you weren't going to talk about it this week.
That was a true travesty.
I got you.
I know. That was a true travesty of our episode about Thor. We did not talk about Idris Elba enough.
We talked about him.
Yeah, we talked about him a lot.
Not enough.
Oh, I see.
Well, we didn't devote the entire show to it.
Yeah. If he was a card from Cards Against Humanity, I'm sure he would be the biggest, blackest dick.
You know that's in the...
I know it's in the box.
It's in the box. I got
the
fourth expansion.
Did you get...
I got the fourth expansion. I haven't gotten the biggest, blackest box yet. Yet.
I think we've got all the expansions.
The fourth expansion just came out, and we just got it, so we're there.
Mm.
It's good.
Is it?
Lots and lots of abortions.
Ooh.
That's one of the cards.
Hang on. No, I didn't even get it.
That's a good card.
You can't go wrong with abortion talk.
Oh,
makes
yeah.
everybody it happy.
It's not like we're bringing down the room or anything.
Yeah, it's not AIDS.
Not AIDS.
Let's keep it light and fun with abortions, not AIDS.
All right, so we'll
I guess
avoid
this
the,
movie
we'll
did lightheartedly reference abortion as well.
We're racist that way. A bunch of idiots playing a card game instead of interacting like normal humans.
Oh, come on, Tony. You're not going to read the cards, are you?
Is this like a hopeless amount of spiders.
Judgmental. Hopeless.
So Luke and I used to go on these walks.
Dance move that's just sex.
What is that all?
Luke and I used to go on these walks during one of the summers where it was like super rainy. And like we had a bunch of flooding. So we were walking up by Grafton along the river after, you know, it flooded. And like there were just flies everywhere. So like we got maybe 30, 40 feet up the path. And it was just like... There was this episode of
X-Files where they go into this forest and the forest is just completely webbed by these little bug things. And that's what this path looked
like. Are you talking about the ones that where the light and they have the generator that's running out of gas?
Yeah, and then like it turns out that they just suck all the water out of them.
Yeah.
No, that was the ship. That wasn't that one. Like they get cocooned. No.
They get cocooned and then they die. Yeah,
that one.
Close on, penis and vagina.
Yeah.
Well, a sex goblin with a carnival penis.
Is it like a twisted balloon?
I feel like
I need a picture.
Almost giving money to a homeless person.
You thought that or but...
Blackula. What Jesus would do. A manhole.
Hiroshima, 1945. What Jesus would do.
My dad's dumb fucking face. And the correlating card to that, my worthless son.
I can't wait to play this with my dad tomorrow.
Yeah.
This one was one of my favorites. Snorting coke off a clown's boner.
Whoa! The imagery alone is worth the card.
That you still used a razor to get into a line?
That should have been in House of Boys.
Well, you
Party Mexicans.
You cut it, and then you put it on the boner.
Well, you just want to put it into the line, though.
Yeah, but you...
But you have to do that on the surface.
Right, but jizz. You cut it first, and then...
Just jizz.
Well, but you use a
razor. You could just put a bump on there. That's...
10 incredible facts about the anus.
How veiny is the penis?
Well...
That depends.
Yeah.
No, it's going to determine how I approach the situation.
The secret formula for ultimate female satisfaction.
You bottled it?
Listening.
Calculating every mannerism so as not to suggest homosexuality.
Whoa.
Hiroshima 1945. Listen, it works for all of them.
Fucking a corpse back to life.
Ooh.
Hiroshima 1945.
Reverse zombieism.
I know you have a special appreciation for that.
Whatever a McRib is made of.
The euphoric rush of strangling a drifter.
It's the only way I can get erect now.
Dem titties. Grammar Nazis who are also regular Nazis.
They correct your German all the time.
I don't speak German.
You just happen to be a Nazi?
Some of the black
parts are pretty good too. On TV.
How am I compensating for my tiny penis?
Lots and lots of abortions. Oh, Tony, I want to play this
vacuums.
Game
vacuum cleaners.
Blank may pass, but blank will last forever. Man, this is bullshit. Fuck blank. In return for my soul, the devil promised me blank, but all I got was blank.
Bait and switch?
Yeah. In return for my soul, the devil promised me a gay sex romp sexploitation movie, and all I got was AIDS.
House of Boys.
The boys aren't even that good.
All right, bros, our frat house is condemned, and all the hot slam pieces are over at Gamma Phi. Time has come to commence Operation Blank.
Tony, I haven't heard hot slam pieces in many years.
It's appropriate for Skanksgiving.
Yeah.
If you can't handle blank, you'd better stay away from blank.
Gay sex and AIDS.
Honey, I have a new role play I want to try tonight. You can be blank and I'll be blank. Do not fuck with me. I am literally blank right now.
I'll be Stephen Fry and you be Reagan.
Hot slam piece right there.
I'll make sweet, passionate hate sex with you.
Oh, trickle down economics. We'll discuss nuclear disarmament.
Politics.
Yeah, I'll show you the trickle down.
Fuck yeah, union busting.
The only thing's being busted.
I am become blank.
Let me show you my Pershing missile.
Are you talking about hymens, Daryl? Because that's totally inappropriate.
For this group?
Listen, you know the rules. Penises are always funny.
Vaginas are always serious.
You know the rules.
Those are the rules.
I'm trying to change the rules.
There's wisdom in that.
Wait. Since when is that a rule?
That's a rule. The doctor said so.
No.
The doctor said so.
He is a doctor.
Kind of. He's a legitimate doctor, sort of.
Pussy is hilarious.
Yes, it is.
No.
It is.
That is not what we said.
Clearly, you don't own one.
Yes.
We said vaginas are always serious.
No.
It had nothing to do with pussy. It's vaginas.
Ooh.
You've seen the bearded lady. You've seen the ring of fire. Now, ladies and gentlemen, feast your eyes upon blank.
The bearded clam. In the ring of fire.
In the beginning, there was blank, and the Lord said, "Let there be blank."
More ouzo.
What's fun until it gets weird?
A lot of stuff. This podcast.
This podcast has gone beyond weird now. Right.
Skinksgiving, I think, has come to an end. Next week.
You've wasted another 2 hours of your life.
Europa Report.
I hate these things because they're so sticky.
And you just keep going. You gotten so far that you have to.
You have to finish it. You're
waiting to get to the point where you can just pop the whole thing in your mouth.
It's too big right now. It's too big for my mouth, Tony.
Apologize.
It's also...
I'll work on that.
It's also, like, there was just enough...
There's just enough alcohol sludge in there that it's still a little boozy.
Oh, the sludge is the worst, because it's, like, two intense competing flavors.
That taste great together.
These things are made in China.
That means they're all questionable content.
Well, I mean, we did fill it with whiskey.
Could be eating antifreeze.
Yeah, whatever germs sawdust was killed by the booze.
Fireball killed the...
Soak it for an hour in vodka.
Fireball killed communism.
What, there's still communism in the world?
Not anymore, I just killed the last of it.
Yes. It's Freedom Fireball.
Freedom Fireball. Well, this is Canadian Fireball, so... It's a questionable content.
Freedom costs $18.99.
Is that $18.99 over here?
At Deerberg's it is. I didn't buy it there. It's not freedom. It's
wisdom.
It's like $16.99.
Yeah, Illinois. Yeah. This place is a wasteland.
Yes, this stuff is not freedom. This is just wisdom.
Too many liberals over here.
After you're about to have a few hits, everything.
There are a lot of liberals over here.
We should start a commune.
Oh, yeah.
I can't live with you.
I don't know what that means.
A commune for the common goal of...
Communism.
Listen, I know... Ooh. I grew... My parents had friends who lived on a commune for many years, so I know commune people, and they are the worst people.
The worst?
Yes.
This sounds like a story.
You know...
Thanksgiving's back on! Fire it back up! I'm gonna have to get a real shot glass out at this point, because my glass is mostly...
Out. Yeah. You might as well commit,
Fuck, I might as well.
Tell you how it's going to work tomorrow.
I don't either. Hair of the dog, man. I'm going to get it.
I'm also not drinking as much as you are, so.
You are not.
I got plenty of time.
Yeah.
You want a glass?
No, I don't.
I'm going to use the new one I got from my folks from their Hawaii trip.
Is there a big black dick on it?
No. Exactly opposite of a big black dick.
Big black vagina.
Are those flowers supposed to mean vagina?
Probably.
Is that what the symbolism is there?
They always do. That is nice.
It's a flower of womanhood.
Don't say that.
That's the way you said that.
Purple-headed warrior into a cleft of
deflower his glass.
His turgid manhood.
Turgid.
That's one of my favorite words.
Turgid.
Turgid.
Man, I hate writers.
Go on. You were speaking of communes. I'm just getting a drink.
I honestly...
There's no reason to wait for me.
I only see the residual effects
See, the nice thing is for the listeners, we have truncate silence, so they don't have the awkward...
Well, that's true.
So what makes them the worst?
So basically, so we're talking about... My parents called these people the field hippies because... It was just a bunch of people, and they all settled in the same area.
Gully Kinder?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know what that is. I don't.
I think it's a Fern Gully reference. No.
So basically, I caught the tail end of it because by the time I came around, they all had homes and things. But,
as opposed to what? Living in chicken coops?
Kinda. Well, there was a dude.
Well, she said and things, so and then they things. Had possessions at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes there were possessions. There was a dude named Roger who...
I was waiting for something a little more epic than Roger. There was a dude as named Horse.
No, he called himself, his name is Roger Harmony. His actual last name was something different, but I have no idea what it is.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Harmony. That's what I was waiting for.
He lives and lived for many, many years on a school bus. So he found a school bus.
Naturally.
Which he painted up.
And tricked it out.
Like one does.
To a swinging 60s bachelor pad.
Right, exactly. And then he parked it.
That sounds like a Card Against Humanity card.
In the valley. On a school bus. Yes. So he parked it in the valley next to. There's a dude named Bubba who had. No joke, like 20 non working rusted VW Beetles sitting in his yard.
A flotilla of bugs.
So St. Peter's.
But it's like, you know, once you get a serious collection going.
Yes, you don't want to disturb. Why fix them?
He's a connoisseur.
Because it would disturb the harmony of the arrangement.
You got to catch them all.
Right, exactly.
All right, Tony.
He was a collector.
All right, Tony.
Tip
my hat, but my hands are sticky. And I have beautiful hair. I do very few things well, but grow hair is on that list.
Except on your face.
Except on my face. And really just right here.
It's weird.
Also, the problem is that I have really dark hair and really light skin. So you can really see where I don't have hair.
We have two characters lined out. Roger Harmony on the school bus and Bubba.
Daryl doesn't want to talk about my hair.
Yeah.
Daryl trying to keep the flow of the conversation going.
Oh, that's bullshit, Daryl.
But yeah, so by the time that I showed up, the commune no longer existed because apparently... This is the lesson that I've heard from other people as well, is there's always two arguments. It's always who's fucking who and who's buying the weed. And those are the two things that always bring down communes. Mm. So.
Much like communism.
Right, exactly.
But not the 29 non-functional VW Beetles.
I mean, something.
Well, I mean, once they're in, they don't really do much.
I mean, it could be the lack of, you know.
You don't know which beetle you hid your weed in. That's a problem.
Yeah, which one of those bugs can go get some bugs?
So by the time I showed up, it had just gone to, so like every Saturday night, there were sauna parties. So I saw so much dong as a child.
Like
so
one
much
does.
Beardy hair dong, the hippie dong, yeah. So there was a lot of, you know, dancing around and things. And then there was a lot of like, this is the pan of brownies that you can't eat, but this is the pan of brownies that you can eat.
At the lake trip, there are, this is the Jell-O you can have, and this is the Jell-O you can't have. So
for the chillins.
I'm kind of familiar with this concept.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So now you know all of that produces this. So.
When I first moved out and moved in with Melina, so I have three brothers, so our house was always loud and noisy. When we moved in together, we didn't have any animals, so it was just the two of us. And what I found most distasteful about it was two things. One, just sleeping with somebody else. God, I hate sleeping with somebody else.
It's weird.
I hate sleeping with somebody else. It's like whenever they move, I wake up. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, there's somebody else. You know, you spend 16 years sleeping by yourself. Or whatever.
I'm to the point where it's weird if I'm not sleeping with somebody else.
Ugh. Oof.
Then again, I'm always the one that comes to bed after the fact.
So she's already asleep.
She's always there. Always.
It's the worst when I like want to talk to you and stuff. All you want to do is sleep.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I didn't come in here the conversation. This is a bed. This is where I do two things. And you know what? I'm leaving my clothes on. So, and the second thing was, god damn, the house was quiet. Like, no one was talking. My parents have this weird thing now when they leave the TV on, like, constantly, so there's always noise. So when I go over there, like, they're not upstairs, but the two TVs are on. So the first 10 minutes, every time I go over there, it's just me walking around turning off TVs. How do you guys do anything? It's so loud in here. But when we moved out, I was
I've always considered myself an individual who do well living with a group of people, but, like, I don't know, 2 years in, it's like, oh, I can't. Even when we go to other people's houses now, I see things, I'm like, oh, I've only been here for 10 minutes and I can't live with this. I couldn't live with this person. Already three unworkable scenarios here. To the point where my buddy, I think, is going to divorce his wife, so he just moved out. And Lena's like, oh, well, I mean, have you gotten any details from him? No, because I know that conversation is going to move towards me offering him to stay with us, and I don't want him in my house. Like, I love this guy like a brother, but I can't. I've gotten, like, crazy in my old age, and I can't have somebody else in my house doing things. I don't like when people use my bathroom. Like, not the one on the first floor.
Yeah, you're weird
my
about
bathroom.
Yeah, the one upstairs.
Yeah, I don't like Melina going up there. I'm going to shower in your shower. Do you have to? You have your own. Use yours. I want you in my bathroom. That's my sanctuary.
Every king has a throne.
I know.
Well, I think we better call this quits here before the audience completely riots on us.
Oh, you have to work. First off, they already turned it off.
Yeah. Nobody would listen to this point.
They're drunk.
Yep.
Yeah. It's all right.
I guess to get going. So.
All right. Next week, Europa Report.
Daryl's got work. Oh, Daryl's hands aren't all sticky and gross. Whoa.
Yeah. Well, he isn't celebrating Thanksgiving or.
Spanksgiving.
Skanksgiving.
Spanksgiving with that sticky hands.
Sticky hands. It could go either way. It really could go either way.
Nevertheless, I'll probably celebrate Skanksgiving tomorrow in a delayed action.
Shomi's has a...
I thought this was the celebration.
Bikini contest right now.
Ugh.
Like on purpose, or...?
Yeah, it's Skanksgiving.
I thought Shomi's was just the fatter Hooters.
They're the nicer Hooters.
The nicer Hooters.
Can you just define nice? Like, in what context? Like the food is nicer?
No, the waitresses are more pleasant.
Football watching Hold is on. Better there.
Pleasant to look at, or pleasant like they're just
pleasant
nicer?
Personality. They're just nicer people.
Okay.
But for a
that, you know what, yeah. though? I used to say that. It. I used to honestly say that, but my Hooters experience was all related around the one at Union Station. And the waitresses there are bitches.
Ooh.
Or were. I don't know if they still are. They're terrible.
Tony. When your job is to bring people food or your breasts are on display, I think you're allowed to be a bitch because all people do are staring at your tits all day.
The
that
crowd,
would probably rub me the wrong way.
The audience that they get at the Union Station one is the one that goes
drunk to businessmen.
Drunk businessmen yeah. and people going to hockey games right. and people will go into baseball games.
Which are already preloaded before they get there.
Yeah, those people are the worst.
Yeah.
The Hooters here in Fairview Heights is actually the wait staff there is pretty they're not as bitchy.
Well they deal with more transient.
I like hot wings, so I gotta go somewhere for that.
Hooters and Shomi's is where you're going.
Yeah. Cyborgs. Now that we get a Cyborgs over here. Mm-hmm. But I don't really get the hot wings. I get the Cyborgs wings. They're not hot, but they're
all
right.
I'll have to see you all later.
See ya.
Fix up things, and I'll see you next week.
All right.
See you in another episode.
I'm going to stop recording.